Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wa ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, we are on the question of the khabar, which is ma dinuk, what is your deen? And we've been talking about the meaning of the word deen. And as I explained, deen is not a set of rituals in worship. Deen is an entire way of life in which the rituals of worship are an important part. They are an important part, but that they are not the sum total of deen. We seem to live under the impression that as long as we are doing the rituals of worship, the rest of it is left to us, we can do whatever we want. As I always say, it's a free world, not just a free country. You're free to believe whatever you want. But no belief is free. We are free to choose whatever we want, but no choice is free. Every choice comes with a price tag, with a consequence. And only somebody who is completely devoid of any intelligence will choose something either without knowing what the price tag is or knowing the price tag which they know they cannot pay. This is a sign of absolute vacuum in the head. Because why on earth and how on earth will you choose something either knowing that you have to pay it, either without knowing what the price is, or knowing that the price is something that you cannot pay? So it is in our interest to ensure that we know the price of our choices. And in this context, we were talking about the issue of riba, the issue of interest, the issue of the wide spread influence of commercial banking. And I mentioned to you the specific ayat of the Quran, the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah from 275 to 280. And I want to reiterate that today because this is one of, if not the single biggest problem with this ummah. That we are indulging in something which is not only haram, but something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu promised to destroy. And something about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war against the one who indulges in it. And therefore I remind myself and you, it is well within our interest. It is the culmination of priorities for us to ensure that we do not fall into something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to destroy, unless we believe that we have strength which is superior to Allah, unless we believe that we can actually win this war with Allah, and in which case, of course, you are responsible for your own choices. To look at the translation of these ayat, starting from Surah Al-Baqarah 275, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who eat riba will not stand on the day of resurrection, except like the standing of a person beaten by shaitan, leading him to insanity. And that is because they say, trading is like riba. They will say, Al-Bayya Mislu Riba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a statement. And this statement is a reflection of the glory and majesty of the lawmaker, the glory and majesty of the Creator, the glory and majesty of Rabbul Alameen, the glory and majesty of Rabbul Arshil Kareem, the glory and majesty of the one who we will stand before, Maliki Yawmiddin, who said about himself on that day, Al-Wahidul Qahhar. And that statement is Ahallallahul Bay'ah wa Harramar Riba. See the glory and majesty of that statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they are crazy, they are insane, because they say trading is like riba. And what is the justification, what is the answer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to that statement that trading is like riba? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made trading permissible and He has forbidden riba. Ahallallahu al-baya, trading is halal by Allah. Ahallallah, Allah has made halal al-baya, trading, wa harrama al-riba, and He made riba haram. I'm saying the glory and majesty because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even bother to explain to us the intricacies of interest-based financing and why it is detrimental to society. Something with the owners of companies, non-Muslim owners of major corporations, they understand very well and they run their corporations without a single cent of bank borrowing. Microsoft is one. No bank borrowing. Aditya Birla Group, Marwadis, no bank borrowing. Reliance, before Ambani died, before Dhirubhai Ambani died, Reliance Industries, not a cent of bank borrowing. Now, of course, their sons have learned the language of so-called leveraging finance, and we'll see where it takes them. But until he died, not a cent of bank borrowing. Infosys, not a cent of bank borrowing. You know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates these examples for us among people who are not even Muslim? To establish the hujjat against us on the day of judgment. No Muslim will be able to say this could not be practiced. No Muslim will be able to say I could not grow my business because I did not have access to non-interest finance. You want to grow your business? How many of you have got businesses equal to Microsoft? The sales of Microsoft is a major part of the GDP of this country. No excuse. No excuse. And the glory and majesty of Allah's statement, Ahallallahu al-baya wa harrama al-riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have made trade halal and I have made riba haram. Khalas. There is no need for the creator of the universe before whom we are going to be standing on the day of judgment to offer justifications to us. There is no need for him to say anything that it is halal because I said so. This is haram because I said so. There is no other evidence that is required. There is no other reason that is required except that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu made it halal. Why is it halal? Because I say so. Why is it haram? Because I say so. You got a problem with that, then I got a problem with you. Jalla Jalaluhu. This is the principle of everything which is halal and haram in this deen. Why is it halal? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. I'm not saying that there is no other worldly reason. I'm not saying there's no other intellectual reason or no other commercial or financial or whatever reason. All of those reasons are there. But that is not the reason why we don't do that. We don't do that because Allah said no. Even if every single reason was turned upside down on its head, still we would not do that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. That ayat, Ahallallahu al-baya wa harrama al-riba, is an ayat which is a lesson in taqwa. That ayat has nothing to do with riba according to me. That ayat has to do with iman. That ayat has to do with taqwa. That ayat has to do with that with which we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. My dear brothers and sisters, we live in a city of palaces. We live in a city of museums. We live in a city where people had wealth, which to this day has not been rivaled. We live in a city where other people who didn't even have that wealth, who didn't even know those people, get vicarious thrills out of talking about that wealth. But strange are the ways of the Maker, and strange are our ways. The shaitan has put curtains over our eyes and over our ears. And we refuse to see and ask a very simple question. And that question is, where are those people today whose wealth we talk about, whose palaces we talk about, whose garden parties we talk about, whose court and court manners we talk about, whose jewels we talk about and go and look at? You pay a fee to go and look at those jewels, which were theirs, they owned it, they wore it, they could pick it up and throw it at somebody and it became theirs. Where are those people? Where are those people? We ask Allah to forgive them and give them Jannah. Where are those people? They are before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not based on this wealth, but based on what they took with them. And this wealth which they left behind, they will give hisab for it. Illa masha'Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses not to take hisab, this is in His control. But He said, and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take hisab. Ahallallahu al-bay'a wa harrama al-riba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so whosoever takes this warning and accepts this warning and receives this admonition from his Rabb and stops indulging in riba will not be punished for the past. All you need to do is to say, from today I will not do it. That is it. Whatever you earned is yours, becomes halal. You don't have to give it back to anybody. You don't have to do anything with it. You can use it. Halal. Provided you make tawbah and say, I will not take it from today. Allah did not say, calculate all the interest that you ate and then give, pay kafara for this. No. No. Whatever came to you till now, you make tawbah, that becomes halal. Use it, becomes halal. But don't make tawbah and die in that state, and you have accepted a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And you know and I know the consequence of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whosoever accepts this warning and receives this admonition and stops eating riba will not be punished for the past. His case is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. But whosoever returns to riba, such are the dwellers of the fire, and they will stay there forever. They will abide therein. Then Allah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, Allah will destroy riba. Yamhaqullahu riba wa yurbis sadaqat. Allah will destroy riba. What is your belief about your Rabb? Does your Rabb tell lies? Has your Rabb written jokes in the Quran? Has your Rabb written things in the Quran which are, oh, I didn't mean that? Is this your belief about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it your belief that what your Rabb and my Rabb wrote in the kala, in His kalam, is haqq? That it is there until the end of time. That there is no doubt in it. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. And hidayat for whom? هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. If this is your belief, then listen to what your Rabb says. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah will destroy riba and will give increase for sadaqat. And Allah does not like disbelievers and sinners. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying disbelievers when He's talking about riba? Today we take great pride in this fact. I am the chairman of Citibank. I am the country manager of HFDC, HSBC. HFDC is another fitna. All four-letter words must be avoided. We take great pride. Oh, my son has got a very good job in the bank. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. I'm giving my daughter, she's got a very good, payam. Very good, what do you call it? What is the English word for payam? Wallahu alam. Alliance. You call it alliance. Either it's two countries. Two joint families are worse than two countries. They were even more fitna than two countries. Very good alliance. What does the boy do? Oh, he's got a very good job in a bank. So alhamdulillah, maybe you were not in that zumrah, you were not in that group, so you brought up your daughter eating halal, and now you are giving her to somebody who is eating haram. So now she is going to be eating haram. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Please open your eyes, open your eyes. I didn't make the law, don't glare at me. I didn't do anything. This is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. He promised to destroy it. Then Allah said, truly those who believe and do deeds of righteousness and perform and establish a salah and give zakat, they will have the reward with their Rabb. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all among those, inshaAllah. And then Allah said, oh you who believe, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. What is the meaning of, what is the indication? Any ayat which begins with this. What does it mean? It is a hukum. It is a hukum from Allah. Anything which begins, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. If you are among those who believe, this is a hukum, direct hukum to you. Allah says, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ittaqullah. Be afraid of the displeasure and anger of Allah and give up what remains due to you from riba from now onwards. If you are believers. If you are believers. So what does it say about ourselves if you don't give it up? What is the statement you are making about yourself if you do not leave riba now? I don't want to say it. You say it to yourself. Then Allah said, and if you do not do it, do not do what? Leave riba. From when? Now. Now. Not 31st of March, end of financial year. Now. And if you do not do it, then take notice of war from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, we need the shafa'at of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of judgment. We want Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to intercede for us and to say, oh Allah, forgive his sins and enter him into Jannah. Yes or no? Do you want Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say, ya Allah, here comes my enemy? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, those who deal in riba, on the day of judgment when they land on the Maidan of Hashar, the Malaika will give them swords in their hands. And they will say, you accepted a declaration of war from your Rabb. There is your Rabb. Go and fight. So all the bank managers and bank owners and people who are dealing in riba and taking interest to build houses and paying interest to build houses and mortgages and buying cars on loans and Allah knows what. Educational loan. Be prepared. Learn some sword fighting while you are about it. Because if you don't leave this, that's what you're going to be doing. I hope I make myself abundantly clear. Yes or no?
Yes.
Please notice, I'm not asking you, do you like what I'm saying? I don't care if you like what I'm saying or not. Is it clear? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Because I am your witness. And you are my witness. We are witnesses to one another on the day of judgment. Let us be witnesses to something which is good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join us together with His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the shade of His arsh as people who believed in Him and who left riba because we understood that we do not want to have war with Allah and His Nabi. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the witness for all those who make tawbah now and to decree that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be our shafi' on the day of judgment, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept His shafa'at in our favor for all those who make tawbah. Do we make tawbah? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Inshallah. I'm not asking who makes tawbah. Let that be a secret between you and your Rabb. Nobody needs to know. It's between you and your Rabb. But leave it. Leave it and leave it now. Make the niyyah now. Make tawbah now. And when you go out of here after Jummah, do what needs to be done to legally get out of this trap that you have walked into yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if you do not do it, then take notice of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger. But if you repent, you will have your capital sums. Do not deal unjustly by asking more than the capital. Meaning if you have given a loan to somebody, don't. And even if you had agreed to some interest, give it up. Get back your capital. Allah is not saying give it up. Listen, get back your capital. And you will not be dealt with unjustly. Do not deal unjustly and you will not be dealt with unjustly. And if the debtor is in hard times, then grant him time till it is easy for him to repay. And if you remit, you say, don't worry, doesn't matter, take it away. I don't need the money. If you give it away as charity, that is better for you if you did but no. And this is the beauty of Islam. This is the beauty of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives without hisab, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us you also give without hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives without counting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives even though we don't deserve. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't look too deeply about what people deserve. Treat people and give people more than they deserve, and I will give you more than you deserve. He gives us more than we deserve anyway. My brothers and sisters, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated, and he said that there is no one who deals in riba to increase his wealth, but he will end up with his wealth being decreased. Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, narrated from Rasulullah sallam, who said in a hadith in Sunan ibn Majah, that there is nobody who deals with interest with the idea that his wealth will be increased, but his wealth will be decreased. Riba is the biggest evil, and it is one of the only two things for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on the one indulging in it. The other one is to trouble a devoted slave of Allah. The problem with riba is that we Muslims have not made a serious attempt at creating a robust, global, interest-free economic and banking system. There are attempts being made now and again, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them success. But imagine if this had been done, if the interest that is there now in Islamic banking, in non-interest banking, imagine if this was done several centuries ago, as indeed it should have been done. Instead of working on creating a robust, interest-free system, we went fatwa shopping, like we do now, to find somebody, a compatible alim, who will give us a fatwa to say that riba is allowed. So we found these compliant muftis who took this evil on their own heads, and they allowed something that they had no right to allow. The whole argument of riba being allowed and permitted in Darul Harb is absolute nonsense, and only proves that the mufti giving that fatwa has either no knowledge of deen, or that he is motivated by something other than taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me quickly explain this issue of Darul Harb, because we know that there are these fatawa floating around in this city. And it is because of these fatawa that no serious attempt has been made to create a robust non-interest banking system. And Muslims felt free to indulge in haram. There are three terms that are used for a country. And these terms are not from the Quran. These terms are terms of ijtihad, which various ulama have mentioned. Three terms. One is Darul Islam, a place where the Islamic Sharia is enforced completely, not bits and pieces like we have in most of our countries, where the Islamic Sharia is enforced completely. Now please, use your intelligence. If the Islamic Sharia is enforced completely, will interest-based banking be permitted? Yes or no?
No.
No. Right? No. So there is no question of any interest-based banking in Darul Islam. Second situation, Darul Aman. Darul Aman is a place where a Muslim is permitted. Please note, I repeat, read my lips. A Muslim is permitted to practice his religion completely, which is a country like ours, India, which applies, this Darul Aman applies to practically every Western country that you can imagine. Because there are no laws to prohibit a Muslim from practicing his religion in any of these countries. Whether it is Australia, whether it is America, whether it's Canada, UK, you name it. There are no laws prohibiting Muslims from practicing their religion. There is nothing to prohibit you from praying, from fasting, from going to Hajj, from establishing your masajid and madaris, from teaching and practicing Islam, from doing anything you want as long as it is in the Sharia. The Sharia is not the law of the land. Please understand, Darul Aman is a country which is a secular country, which might even be a theocratic country, might be a Hindu country or something. But despite the fact that the Sharia is not the law of the land, the country, the government permits Muslims to live according to their religion. There is no interference in the practice of your religion. In such a country, can you practice your religion fully? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, that is why it's called Darul Aman. In which case, what does your religion say about interest? Is it halal or haram?
Haram.
So where is the question of taking interest in a country which is Darul Aman? Let's go to the third point, Darul Harb, place of war. If a country is Darul Harb, what is your number one priority?
To fight.
It is a place of war. Your number one priority is to fight. Your priority is not to build a business. Your priority is not to buy property. Your priority is not to do this and that. If it is Darul Harb, if you are at war in that country, then what must you do? Fight the war. Where is the question of interest-based banking or any kind of banking for that matter? So now if somebody tells you that India is Darul Harb and therefore you can take interest, they are making two mistakes. First mistake is they are declaring a country which is Darul Aman to be Darul Harb. India is not Darul Harb, India is Darul Aman. The very fact that all of us are sitting here and we are in this masjid and I am making this khutbah, and you know and I know that in this country there is no prohibition on me to say anything I want concerning this religion. Absolutely no problem. So this is Darul Aman. So the first question when you say Darul Harb, that's the first mistake, that you are calling a country which is Darul Aman into Darul Harb. And second mistake is, if in fact it is Darul Harb, then permitting of interest is completely senseless because there is no such permission. And that's the problem with what we call scholars for dollars. Right? You get these scholars for dollars. Stay away from them, because as I explained to you, a fatwa is only an opinion. It is not a hukum. It's not a ruling. A fatwa is the opinion of the mufti about a hukum. And it does not and it cannot change the hukum. When the hukum is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then all the fatawa, all the fatwas in the world together cannot change an iota of the hukum. When we are doing something about which there is a hukum, it is our personal responsibility to ensure that we follow the hukum. Getting a fatwa from somebody and taking refuge behind that and violating the hukum will land us in trouble as surely as the sun rises in the east. Make no mistake, that fatwa is a piece of paper. It has no validity. And anyone who believes, I have got a fatwa, therefore so and so is answerable, is living in fantasy. That so and so is answerable, no doubt about that. But he is answerable for what he did. He is not answerable for you. You are answerable for yourself. Make absolutely no mistake. This dubious and wrong fatwa cannot save us and cannot save the mufti who gave it. Halal is halal and haram is haram. And riba in all its forms, the most common of which is bank interest, is haram, haram, haram. Think about this, and I want to end with this, because we have a majority of young people in this masjid, alhamdulillah. And we have people who are educated, who are in all kinds of areas. And that's the reason I'm saying this. Think about this. If instead of trying to hide behind dubious fatawa, if we had seriously sought to create an interest-free system, I at least have no doubt that in 14 centuries since these ayat were revealed, we would surely have devised a great system, and consequently we would have been the rulers of the world. We would have been the rulers of the world, because make no mistake, it is those who run the banking system, they are the ones who rule the world. Not the presidents, not the prime ministers, not the generals, not the admirals. The bankers run the world. Imagine if you and I were bankers. And there's no need to imagine. This is doable even today. You can create a non-interest based banking system which will eradicate poverty, which will genuinely help the poor, which will clearly enfranchise those who are really disenfranchised. Saying one man, one vote makes no sense when that man is living in a tin shed somewhere. Economic well-being is as important as well-being of the body and the mind. And this is what a non-interest banking system can do. And that's why I'm saying this to you, I'm putting this to you as a challenge. Do this. Take this upon yourself. And believe me, you will not do it until you first make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And until you get rid of all the interest that you are stuck in. Then you will feel the pain. And that pain will drive you to success. Until you are sitting in a cushy bank job, ignoring the fact that you are eating fire, you will not make any effort. But when you leave that bank job and you hit the street, then your mind will start working. Then you will understand, yes, I have abilities. Then you will start praying tahajjud. Then you will cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will recognize your raziq, who does not need you to indulge in haram to fill that little belly of yours. Then you will understand what is the meaning of Inna Allaha Huwa Ar-Razzaq Udul Quwwatil Mateen. And then you will be on a high that nobody can take you down from. But that will not happen as long as you keep hiding behind these false fatawas of self-interested muftis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from them. My brothers and sisters, my advice to those who are making the effort is to fear Allah and not to take shortcuts. I'm talking about those who are making efforts for Islamic banking. My advice is, don't take shortcuts. Don't try to clothe the same products in different terminology. Be honest and don't try to bend the rules. Keep the rule sacrosanct which it is and work with that rule so that the products and services you create are truly halal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give power to you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you and guide you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you those who will not only enter Jannah, but you will not enter Jannah alone. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you among those who will enter Jannah and who will lead hundreds and thousands and millions of others into Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you among those who create those systems which will make a halal income a default situation for people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you among those who will give power to the weak, who will help the oppressed, who will eradicate poverty, who will stop lying and cheating to yourselves, because there is no one else who you fool. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to be those who will become standard bearers of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to be those who are confident about this deen, who don't hide behind things, who are not apologetic about this deen, who don't run behind bushes when the moment somebody says Muslim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to be among those who's walking, who's talking, whose appearance, who's eating and drinking, whose homes and whose society will be recognized as Islamic in the truest sense of the term, as being these true believers and as being the true followers of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.